In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The descriptions that we heard in the passage from St. Matthew's Gospel just now, describing the end times of the current era before the ultimate rule of Christ, are often called apocalyptic material. Some people think that those descriptions in that particular passage are intended to describe the events that were to happen in the generation after Jesus. And for what we know, that certainly rings true. But they are also descriptions of how life has always been. You will hear of wars and rumours of wars. Nation will rise against nation. There'll be famines and earthquakes. This is a description of the world around us today, just as it has been through the centuries. And this is the world into which little James has been born. James, who's been brought here today to be baptized. We will anoint him with the oil of baptism, praying for God's protection. Sign him with the sign of the cross of Christ, and pray, Almighty God, deliver you from the powers of darkness and lead you in the light and obedience of Christ. We baptize children that they may be born into God's family and care, into discipleship, being brought up to follow Christ, to discover what it is to be loved by and to worship God. At some point during the night on Reformation Day, last Tuesday, the 500th anniversary of Luther nailing his 95 Theses to the door of All Saints Wittenberg, a would-be 21st century reformer blue-tacked a declaration on the main door of Southwark Cathedral at the end of Lancelot's Link. I gather that St. Paul's was similarly visited, but I've not heard whether or not this was the extent of the protest. The author of the statement, unlike Luther and his theses 500 years ago, was anonymous, tagged only as a priest in the Church of England. There was a statement and a declaration. The statement made it clear that this action was being taken because the established church in our land is becoming corrupt. Both statement and declaration were clearly concentrating on matters of sexuality. What we proclaim in baptism in our creedal statements are the very heart of the gospel, putting our faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, through whose death on the cross and resurrection we have been forgiven, set free, and offered the hope of eternal life with God. Luther's argument that we are saved entirely, confidently, and unfailingly by grace alone, through faith, not by our works, are still at the heart of our gospel today. It is Christ who holds us together. We have all received freely of God's grace and love, and it is our love for Christ that we all share in common. When we face differences in deeply held views over sexuality, for example, then we need to remember this. It is not to trivialize our differences. They can be very real, deep, and painful. To those on either side of a disagreement, the other's point of view can be very shocking or disturbing. There is so much to celebrate in the Reformation, and we have been celebrating this week. But it has also been hard not to contemplate disunity in the church, as we've also reflected on some of the less positive outcomes. Those verses a little further on in the Matthew passage ring true in too many ways. They will hand you over to be tortured. They will put you to death. Many will fall away and will betray one another and hate one another. Some of those prophecies in the Matthew passage describe well the horrors of the Tudor and Stuart times following the Reformation. Disunity between denominations continues, much as we would long to see the fulfillment of Jesus' prayer for the unity of his followers that we find in chapter 17 of John's Gospel. There was a service to mark the 500th anniversary of the 95 Theses and the start of the Reformation at Westminster Abbey last Tuesday. and the bidding reminded those gathered that the body of Christ under God is always to be reformed. That we stand together, praying that we may ever be united in our diversity, and that we may draw more and more children of God into the beautiful story of God's love revealed in Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us hold on to that. There will always be issues that divide us. In the way forward, when facing such profound disagreement as we do over the ordination of women, to use a different example, we sometimes talk of mutual flourishing. And I warm to that phrase. It's no easy path. It requires graciousness on both sides, a willingness to listen with an open mind, to share, to welcome the possibility of relationship and friendship, and at the end of the day, an acceptance that we may have to live together with our differences, seeking ways to build up our common faith and life rather than putting up walls and barriers and digging in for battle. We need to hold on to those central doctrines and our shared faith and trust in Christ, to be open to God's grace to be working in ourselves and the other, and to rejoice together in the good news that we have to share of God's love and grace to those around us. It's hard, and this is my prayer for the unity of the church, that we may learn to love one another afresh by the grace and work of the Holy Spirit, and that we may learn to live with diversity for the sake of the gospel. Amen.